You're listening to Principal Broadcasting, featuring the League of Professionals with Muriel Donnelly, weekdays 10 to 4 p.m. with current topics to elevate your career to the next level.
John Stevens here with Principal Broadcasting, and today I have a very special guest, Dr. Pedro Solar. And he is with Solar Plastic Surgery. And we're going to find out a little bit about what he's doing for the people of Tampa, Florida. So, Dr. Solar, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Absolutely. All right. So you're a plastic surgeon. Why don't you explain to us what you're helping kind of the people of Tampa, Florida with? Now, I'm sure everyone knows what a plastic surgeon does, but what specifically do you specialize in?
Actually, you'd be surprised. Most people, when they hear plastic surgery, obviously they think of breast augmentations and liposuction.
Right.
And that is that. I'm not going to lie, that is a lot of what we do. But we also do a lot of wound care. We close wounds. So it's a very varied specialty. It's actually the true general surgery, if you will, of the surgical community.
Now, I know with the plastic surgery, a lot of the times it's like elective surgery. So it's surgery that somebody has decided to do themselves. They don't necessarily need it to live or anything like that. But do you partake in the reconstructive surgery if somebody's in like a horrible accident, something like that?
Absolutely. And as well as for breast reconstruction after mastectomy after breast cancer.
Right.
So I do all of that. The majority of my practice now is cosmetic or elective surgery, as you alluded to.
Right.
So the breast augmentation, as everyone knows again, and the liposuction, what tends to be or becoming or has become much more popular, if you will, over the last couple of years, is the people have referred to the Brazilian buttock lift as well, where you sculpture the body by doing liposuction, and then you take that fat and use it to sculpture the gluteal region, sort of looking for some women looking for the Kardashian look,
right.
Others for a more fuller and better projecting buttock.
Well, it's certainly a very popular look nowadays. And I think it's kind of cool that, so when you're doing this procedure or really any procedure, really, so are you utilizing the stuff you're taking out of the body? You're utilizing that in other areas to kind of mold and shape.
That's correct. We're taking it out of the areas you don't want it and
right.
putting it into the areas you do want it. The nice thing about using fat, because in the past, and they still do, in some women you need to use implants, but implants come with their own set of complications.
Right.
The nice thing about using someone's fat is that once it heals, what you see is what you get. It's your own tissue. And so in essence, once it's healed, it's permanent.
Right.
And it's yours.
So that's a different case with implants. Now, when you do get the implants, whether it's in the butt or the breast, do women or men, do they have to come back and kind of have these implants changed out? I mean, how long do they last?
Well, you know, that's funny. We recommend every 10 years.
Okay.
In reality, some will last longer, although they're made to tighter tolerances simply because they're being implanted in the human body.
Right.
Failure is not an option in that case. And so,
yeah.
But it's still a mechanical object. And so at some point it will fail. But usually you want to at least get checked out before 10 years is up. The recommendation, especially in the silicone implants, is that you should get an MRI 3 years after your initial surgery and then every other year thereafter, just to keep track of the implants and make sure that they're okay.
Right. Now, with the implants, What kind of cost are we talking as far as because this is an elective surgery, I take it that insurance companies aren't so amped to kind of pay for it?
Yeah, correct. That's right. You know, typically the cost, it's not just as people think or the ones that have already had it know,
right.
But it's not just the cost of the surgeon. You have, especially if you're using implants, the cost of the implant,
right.
any garments you may need, such as a bra or even compression garments after liposuction, the anesthesia, the operating room. So there's multiple costs involved for the patient.
Now, I had a question as far as with the insurance companies. Now, are they a little more lenient when it comes to like a, let's just say like a breast reduction? Do you do those surgeries?
Yes, but even that, there's strict qualifications for those.
Right.
They may vary slightly from insurance company to the insurance company. A lot of the insurance companies will ask that you've been medically treated for at least 2 years prior to getting surgery, which may include going to a chiropractor, getting some physical therapy, being on anti-inflammatories like Motrin, ibuprofen, Tylenol, and so on before going on. And then they also usually ask for a minimum weight of breast reduced.
Right.
So there's some guidelines, if you will. So a lot of that, so people don't just sneak in and get a breast lift,
and get
the insurance to cover for it. So I can kind of understand some of those guidelines.
Right. Now, I had a question for you as far as now when people come in for plastic surgery, even if it is elective, is it important that these people realize, I mean, this is still kind of like a major surgery, right? I mean, this isn't something that you're just going to go in and out and everything's going to be, it's not like popping a pimple.
Well, I would say to you, do you know the difference between major and minor surgery?
I do not.
Okay, so minor surgery is that which is done unto others. Major surgery is that which is done unto you. In other words,
right.
you should always have respect for surgery.
Right.
The patient's health is extremely important. I can tell you that in cosmetic cases, if you smoke, I really don't want to operate on you.
Right.
You're making things harder. You're making complications more likely. And so the whole point of this is to get the patient where they want to be when you're done with the surgery.
Right.
Right. And so risk is inherent in everything we do. And the whole point of the preoperative visits and learning more about the person and their medical conditions and whether they smoke or not and all the other things is that we're trying to minimize that risk as much as possible.
I'm sure your patients thoroughly appreciate that.
I would hope so, because I tell them all, right? I mean, some of that is sort of selfish, because what I end up telling them all is it's their operation, but it's my reputation. So
right. No, absolutely. And if something goes horribly wrong during one of your operations, I can't imagine. And of course, I'm knocking on wood, but God forbid. But then, right. You know, that looks bad on you. So, I mean, it's not just for the patient. Of course, you know, medically and legally, yes, it's for the patient. But I completely understand your statement there. Now, Dr. Solar, we unfortunately have to end the show in just about a minute. But where can people find your incredible practice online? Do you have a Facebook page or a website, anything like that?
Yes. I mean, I'm on Facebook at Pedro M. Solar, MD.
Okay.
And then my webpage, again, it's Pedro M. Solar, MD. And if you Google my name and then add in Tampa, you can find my webpage very easily.
Fantastic. And of course, for those listening, it's Pedro, P-E-D-R-O, Solar, SOLERMD.com. Check out the website. Dr. Pedro Solar, thank you so much for coming on and giving us a little insight into your professional world. We really appreciate it and wish you the best of luck.
This is Principal Broadcasting, the professional's choice.